Hello, my name is Neil, and together with my wife Sheena, we've put together a reflection of the coming of Jesus as King. As we continue to look at the implications of the coming of Jesus, today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 and 7, which contain the wonderful words that will be familiar to you. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. We'd like to focus on the second verse, which speaks of Jesus being a successor to King David, who was the most successful king of Israel. But of course, Jesus is a very different kind of king. Now, kings have been around for a long time. There have been 63 monarchs of England and Great Britain over a period of 1200 years. For those of us living in Sheffield, it is interesting to know that in the 9th century, King Egbert became the first king of all England, and the decision was made here in Sheffield, in Dore. There have been famous and powerful kings over the centuries, including the current and immensely wealthy King Abdulaziz of Saudi Arabia, Genghis Khan, who was the Mongolian warrior king, Alexander the Great, who ruled vast empires through military might, and at the time of Jesus' birth, it was the Roman Empire that controlled Israel. Starting with King Saul in the Old Testament, there have been a total of 42 kings that ruled over the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. There was also a queen, Athaliah, who ruled in Judah for 6 years. This is all very interesting, but way more than just interesting is the complete and utter wonder of King Jesus. You can't pin him down to any specific time in history. He was there at creation. He was mentioned in John chapter 1 as the Word, and there are references to Jesus throughout the Bible as King and references to his kingdom. As we shall see, all the kings mentioned previously will have to bow the knee to King Jesus. In the verses that we're looking at today, that by the way were written 800 years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah 9 verse 7 portrays Jesus as a future king. The child, born and given to us, will be a divine ruler on the throne of King David, reigning forever with justice and peace. In Daniel chapter 7, we have a vision of the power, glory, and authority of this King Jesus. Daniel says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." So we're beginning to see that this Jesus is a very different kind of king. In the New Testament, Jesus clearly spoke about his kingdom in John chapter 18, verse 36. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." So Jesus is speaking about a spiritual kingdom. He does not rule by military might. In fact, he does not oblige anyone to be part of his kingdom. Jesus is king to all those who accept him and allow him to have authority in their lives. But what a privilege that is. In Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 and 6, Jesus is described as the ruler of the kings of the earth, someone who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made his followers a kingdom and priests to his God and Father, to whom all glory and dominion forever and ever belong. Jesus is not an ordinary king. He is the King of Kings, and this is majestically proclaimed in Handel's Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever and ever. So we have the opportunity, the privilege, to accept Jesus to be King of our lives. He created us, He knows what is best for us, and He wants us to live in harmony with Him. So let's accept Him as our King this Christmas. It's the best Christmas present you could ever have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You that You gave us Jesus at Christmas time, but to be our King, not just as a baby lying in a manger, but to be King of our lives. And we pray that You will enable us to give our hearts and lives over to Him to rule as King of our lives. We thank You for this gift. In Jesus' name, Amen.